Hey, what's up, everybody? We got commitments, y'all. We're going to talk about the newest Badgers on today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every single day. I am Ryan Herrings, your host here. I'm so appreciative of everyone listening, of coming in, of joining the community, of leaving likes and comments and subscribing. We're up to 72 subscribers on YouTube, which is amazing to me. It may not seem like a lot, but starting at zero and already building up to 72, I know it takes a lot to hit that subscribe button, y'all. I don't do it a lot. I should do it more. I appreciate everybody that has done it and everyone that leaves comments on YouTube. I read every single one of them. I try to respond to every single one of them. I appreciate y'all so much as we build this Badger community, guys. And that's what this is all about. It's not about me. It's not even about Locked On, really. I probably shouldn't say that, right? Because it is on their end. But like for me, it's just about building a Badger community where we can get people on the show. And I'm open to having all sorts of different people come together and talk Badgers. So I appreciate everybody being here for that. And with that, let's jump into it. This is a good week. I mean, this is good, right? We've talked a couple times on the show about the slow start to recruiting in 2023, right? We reeled a couple fish into the boat. So let's talk about it. We're going to start with Jacquez Keys. He's the running back out of Ohio. We just landed Ironton, Ohio, which, by the way, I said this on a previous show, but that just sounds like a football town, right? Ironton, Ohio. He is a 6'1", 210, about an 88 composite ranking. Which is solid. That's just below that kind of four-star level, so a high three-star. Listen, the Badgers have made a lot of hay with high three-star guys, right, especially at the running back spot. So that's kind of that sweet spot. Obviously, we all want four- and five-star kids, but a high three-star, big physical running back out of Ohio. We've talked about him a little bit previously on a show, but now's our opportunity to get into him a little bit more. And we're going to get into some film of his later this week. So whenever we get a commit, guys, we're going to really break it down for y'all. So let's talk a little bit about his game, and then let's talk a little bit about how we feel he kind of fits on the team and what that does to this recruiting class. So we said big physical guy, 210. He reminds me a little bit, if we're thinking of Badger backs, kind of a PJ Hill / John Clay type, you know, not as freakish as John Clay. Cause if you remember when John Clay was in shape, you know, his, I think it was his sophomore year, you know, he was the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. And I mean, an in-shape John Clay was incredible. This kid's not quite that, I don't think, but he's kind of like that type of player. I don't think the speed is great. I think it's an average speed kind of running back, but physical, big. He's got pretty good feet. Like, seeing him step through traffic out of arm tackles, I don't see him getting tripped up a lot, which I really like. I think it's impressive. And he comes from a good school. There's other prospects in that Ironton school, so it's always nice to get a foothold into somewhere. Right, that has other Division I prospects. They have a receiver committed to Cincinnati that Wisconsin's sniffing around on a little bit. You know, so all in all, if I were to grade my initial reaction to this, right, and these are, first of all, this is not the right grade. This is just not even a grade. Grade's way too wrong. I'm just saying kind of my initial excitement level. I think it's a solid B, right? I don't think this is a home run verbal commit. And it's important to keep in mind, all these guys at this point are just verbal commits. You never, never know what's going to happen in recruiting. We've seen that door swing both ways for the Badgers, right? But I think it's a solid verbal commitment. He is a workhorse type player. I think he fits the Big Ten's running style, that grinded out. He can really come to Wisconsin and lean on defenses. I don't think you want him to be necessarily your top back, right? I think he's going to fit well in kind of a timeshare with somebody who's a little more explosive, maybe someone who is a little bit more that game breaker, and the two of them can work together really well. You know, if you think back to kind of like how James White was used as a change of pace, and this guy would be like DeMonte Ball, you know, obviously those are, I'm not saying he's that player, but in that type of usage, you know, what else we like about him? Certainly the frame. He's breaking tackles. He's running through people at the high school level. He finishes forward, right? Those yards after contact that we have seen from a lot of Badger backs, this dude gets them, right? And kind of what we are a little hesitant on, you know, it's the game-breaking speed, the game-breaking ability. I don't think he has that. I don't think he'll probably ever have that. And that's fine. Listen, most college backs don't have everything, right? The very few do. The very few are the Melvin Gordons and the Jonathan Taylors who are big, fast, powerful. Most of them just have two out of three or one out of three. You know, and this kid, I think, has the power. He has the size. He has the physicality. He has good feet. Like I said, I really like the footwork on him. He's able to kind of find a lane, a crease, get it and go. He's going to need to work a little bit on, learning to read blocks, fall blockers. He's going to have to get a little faster, but I don't think the speed is ever going to be a plus for him. Now let's talk a little bit about, we did a show a while ago. We talked about what this class needs to have in it, right? And I said, we need two running backs in this class. So to me, this is the start there. You get this running back and then you're still swinging for the fences. You know, Nate White is an in-state kid who's a little more athletic. It could be him. You know, they're in on a couple other players, JT Smith. They've been around a lot out of North Carolina, I think he is. So I think this really fits in well with this recruiting class. It's a great start to that running back room that we're trying to add some numbers to. Like I mentioned, you absolutely need two in this cycle. I think it's imperative you get two in the cycle, and we just picked up one. And like I said, I think it's a solid one. I don't think it's – I'm going to ask – we're going to have, if we can, John Garcia on again later this week from Sports Illustrated, and I really want to dive into this question with him for both of our commits. I think Keys is probably more of a high-floor, lower-ceiling commit. And what I mean by that is I think he's a guy who physically you don't have to project a lot. He's going to be able to step into the college level, and I think he's going to be a solid player. I don't know if he's the type of guy that raises the talent of a running back room kind of individually, you know? So I want to dig into that more as we continue to talk about Keys this week, but you know, in recap, it's kind of my thoughts. I think it's a super solid addition. I like the school he's coming out of. I like the physicality. I think he's the type of guy who could be a bell cow kind of workhorse running back for Wisconsin's power football style that they love. And that honestly I love. So yeah, it's a really good addition. I'm excited for it. And we're going to dig more into his film coming up, guys. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about another recruit. That's right. We double dipped. We got the dose. And this guy's a little more interesting. He's a little more of a question mark, I would say. I shouldn't say more interesting. I think he's a little more of a question mark. We're going to get into kind of where we think he fits in the class and on the team coming up. But first, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. We talked about Built Bar all the time, guys. I have to tell you this true story. So I get Built Bars, right? Like I told you, I buy them. I have a recurring buy off Amazon. Well, Built Bar sent me, just because being a Locked On host, occasionally I get some free swag from Built Bar, which is amazing. And they sent me their new flavor, Puffs Birthday Cake. Yo, I got the box in. I was excited about it, but it was late when I got home. So I opened the box up, put it on the counter. I came down the next day and my kids had eaten 8 of them, like straight up. My two boys, 7 and 3, they found the box and they thought they were candy bars and they loved them. They just started devouring them. Remember, these are protein bars, guys, that taste so good. My kids were fooled into thinking they were candy bars. And I felt like an inner dad win, like my kids were tricked into eating healthy. Of course, I was also a little disappointed because they ate like a third of my box immediately. So I finally tried some. They're incredible. Listen, Built Bar is your number one source for all your healthy protein bars. They are nutritionally incredible. Tons of protein, low sugar. You're going to want to try these, guys. I promise you, they are incredible. The new flavors are incredible. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. Thanks for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Now make sure you go check out Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow, an NBA Junkies author of the NBA Big Board newsletter, is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, great cast of people, and they're going to give fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft that's coming up. Obviously, Johnny Davis is going to be featured prominently in those talks, so you're going to want to tune in, guys. All right, let's jump into our next segment. We talked about Keys. Let's talk about Justin Turner for a second. So he's the second commit here, and he was a little bit more of an unknown, right? We had, as Badger fans, we had known about Keys a little more prominently. We had talked about him a little bit more. Taylor was kind of offered and committed really quickly after the offer. He's a 6'1 athlete, 6'1, 185 pound athlete out of LaGrange, Illinois. Coming in as an athlete, someone who is coming in to play, it's been reported he's coming in to play safety, defensive back, but he's an athlete. He can play a couple different spots. He has that positional versatility that this staff seems to like. His composite's an 82, right? Which is pretty low. Like for context, if you drop much below an 82, you're getting into like a 2-star range, which is basically the bottom of the ranking, poll, essentially. However, it's important to note a couple things. It's very early in the recruiting cycle. A lot of kids haven't been seen much. So none of these rankings right now are set in stone. A lot of kids haven't been seen. I would expect his ranking to go up as he's been seen, his film gets exposed. And quite frankly, you know, players that commit that haven't been seen a lot, you know, they get a second look from recruiting services, you know, 247, Rivals, 0-3, you know, Sports Illustrated. Those guys will look at these commits again. I would definitely expect Taylor, with his size and some of his athletic ability, to get a bump. Still not going to be, listen, it's not going to be a four-star recruit. He's probably going to get bumped up, you know, just historically how this usually works. You know, a bit of an underrated, non-super visible kid. He usually ends up at like an 85, like a mid three-star. And for this kid, it feels about right. So watching some film on Taylor, and again, we're going to get into deeper film on all these guys and with John Garcia and some other guests, really break it down a little bit more and see if we can get a little more in depth with them. This is more of the introduction of it. But looking at his film, you know, I watched a lot of him on offense, actually. And I got to tell you, you can see why he's coming in, why they kind of classify him as an athlete. Now, he's coming in as a safety, but a lot of the film I saw was him as a receiver. And the interesting thing about getting a safety that has those receiver skills is obviously you potentially get a playmaker. So a lot of what I'm seeing on film, 6'1 guy, right? So you like the size immediately. You know, you can definitely see the frame is not a super skinny kid. He's going to, I think by the time he's ready to play at Wisconsin, a year or two into his career, you're going to be looking at a kid who's 6'1, 6'2, 200 pounds, you know, like a pretty, he's 185 now, right? So I think you're going to be looking at a dude who's pretty filled out, who's pretty physical, who's ready to go. He's fast enough. He's big enough, you know, so he's the type of guy to me that you bring in as kind of a ball of clay and you let the coaching staff develop him. What I liked about him, he's a hands catcher, right? A lot of the highlights that he has on offense are throwing him fades or throwing him slot fades, you know, back shoulder throws that you've seen Aaron Rodgers do a billion times. And he's hand catching this stuff. He's not body catching it for the most part, diving in, you know, on an out route, diving to catch a poorly thrown pass. Again, they throw a lot of fades to him in the end zone where he has to out jump and kind of out athlete a corner, hand catch it, hold it in. That's good signs for a safety, man. Like, I really, really like the idea of bringing in a guy with a lot of ball skills for that safety spot, because I don't think we've had a lot of that at Wisconsin. I think our safeties have generally been physical, tough, but I don't know if we've had a lot of playmakers. And I wonder if maybe this is how they see Taylor, as kind of a playmaker type coming in. Again, not a lot of offers, kind of an under the radar kid. He had a Kansas State offer, but I'm okay with this. Like, I'm okay. I think Wisconsin offensive offers, maybe you have to squint sometimes because there's been a lot of misses. On the defensive side, right, if Jim Leonard, Hank Boteet, you know, if Bobby April see something in a kid, I really, at this point, you just have to benefit of doubt them, especially this early. This is not a November, December pickup where everyone's scrambling to fill spots. This is an early pickup for a kid with size, with ball skills, right, from people who know how to identify talent. So I really like it. I think it's in the same category as the Keys. It's a B. I love the fact that he's an athletic guy. He can hand catch. Again, he's a guy where I have to check out on the speed. I'm not sure how explosive he is. There are some clips where he's playing receiver and it looks like he's more of maybe a deep speed guy, like a long strider type, but his start stop acceleration, I'm just saying, it looks like it takes him a tick longer to get into gear than other high level athletes I've seen. And that's something I'm going to be interested in continuing to watch. Like, I am by no means an expert on either of these guys. I've watched film on them. I need to watch more, and we're going to have more people on to, talk about both these players more. But on the surface, to me, this is like another B, a solid pickup. I think there's a lot to like here. And I think much like Keys, there's some athletic, maybe speed/explosiveness questions that will need to be answered. What does it do for the recruiting class? You know, I think this was a class where I thought you had to get a couple defensive backs. Again, we talked about it, you needed a couple running backs. I think you needed a couple defensive backs too. Safety is a big question mark, even though we did address that. Wisconsin did address that somewhat with the Utah transfer Latu coming in. But safety is still a big question mark. There's not a lot of numbers there. So bringing in somebody that you project as safety, getting him locked in early, you know, I think that's really important for this class to build depth at those positions. And again, this is a guy who could also play corner potentially. He could also play receiver potentially. So there's versatility there. I think you get him in the system, you get him in the program, you see where his body's at in a year or 2 years, and then you go from there. you can do worse than a 6'1 guy with good ball skills that seems to run well enough. Again, I think the speed and the explosiveness is the real question here. It's also nice, by the way, to kind of keep banging Illinois. We talked about this is not an in-state class for Wisconsin where they're going to make a lot of hay this year. So this is the second Illinois pickup they've gotten with Tyler Jancy out of Illinois as well. So nice to see them go there. Now we're going to shift a little bit to a bit of bad news. Again, staying on the recruiting front, we're going to shift a little bit to Tyler Gant, who is a defensive end that Wisconsin's been on a long time out of Missouri. Strong side defensive end. And for a long time, it really looked like Wisconsin was, if not the favorite, maybe the co-favorite within Iowa. This was a guy that the staff has been on for months and months, a big-time plan A recruit. Committed to Northwestern, guys. The nerds beat us out. And it's a bummer. Like, this is definitely a guy that the staff liked. They identified early. You could definitely see the fit on film as a strong side defensive end in the 3-4. I got to be honest, and this isn't sour grapes because I've said this before. I want to be super clear on this. This is not a kid goes somewhere else, so I'm saying he's not good enough. I personally wasn't overwhelmed with this film. I thought it was a little mediocre, but the coaching staff liked him and they know far more about him than I do. So that's just my two cents on it. I wasn't overly distraught at losing this recruiting battle, although it is kind of weird to lose it to Northwestern, but I wasn't overly distraught about it. However, he was a guy who even though I didn't love him, you could tell fit a need, right? He's a guy who was already big and physical and you could tell would be able to slot in on that 3-4 strong side defensive end. And that's an important spot in the Wisconsin defense. So without Gant, that's a spot that they're going to have to pivot and they're going to have to find a new fit for that spot. Who that is, I'm not exactly sure yet. You know, that's another good question that we're going to have to dive into later. But yeah, so the Badgers did pick up two commits like we talked about, both guys who I think are really solid additions. I think it's really, really solid foundational additions to the class. I don't think either of them are ceiling raisers. You know, but I do think that they're very solid pieces to add into the class. And it's really nice to start building some momentum, right? Start getting something moving in the 2023 class where we can, maybe people can look at it, other recruits can look at it and see something being built. I think players are more likely to sign on when they see pieces in place. So this could be the start of a bit of a recruiting wave for Wisconsin, which I really like. But we did have to mention Tyler Gant, a big-time Wisconsin commit, a big-time Wisconsin target, did go a different way. And we're going to see him in the Big Ten West for several years, guys. I mean, assuming the transfer portal doesn't leave, but he's going to be a Northwestern Wildcat. So it's going to be very interesting to see his career progress, see where he goes. Definitely somebody that is on the almost Wisconsin team. And we're going to compile one of those at someday and see how good it is. Coming up next, guys, a bit of weird news that we haven't had a chance to dive into yet. Bill Sheridan, the Wisconsin inside linebackers coach, has left the program. He resigned as the inside linebackers coach after some news came out, Air Force and et cetera. So we're going to get into what all this means, what happens, and does Paul Chris really bear any blame here? So all that after our next sponsor in the show, next friend of the show. As always, guys, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs and information. Great site for news and notes. They really have it all there. The website's easy to use, simple to navigate. And it's a great time to do it. Playoffs are on right now. I've been super active on BetOnline. I did have money on the Bucks going to the finals, which is a major bummer. But I also have money on the Suns going to the finals. They, as of recording now, they are still alive. So hopefully something happens there. Baseball's going on. NFL futures is happening. Tons of stuff that you can get into with BetOnline. It is so much fun. Just have $5-$10. Talk to a friend about it and see, you know, see if your intuition's right. All of us know sports here, guys. Time to put your a little bit of your money where your mouth is and see where it goes. Go to BetOnline. Head to the website today. The BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you guys again for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Really appreciate it. Let's talk about Bill Sheridan leaving Wisconsin inside linebacker coach. We barely knew you, brother. He was here for about 2 months. And quite frankly, I got to be honest. When he was hired, I was a little lukewarm on it. I wanted somebody ideally that was a little younger with a little bit more recruiting chops. However, as he had been here for a couple months and hearing players talk about him, seeing him on Twitter, hearing Jim Leonard talk about how much experience and how much Bill had already brought to the defense, I was really getting on board. So if you had told me right after he got hired that he was resigning, I would have been, all right. Now that he's been here a couple months, I was kind of really warming to the idea of this super traveled inside linebacker coach that had seen a bunch of stuff, really giving overall wisdom to the defense. So it's kind of a bummer to see him go. What happened is while he was at Air Force, which was his last stop, apparently during a COVID dead period when you weren't allowed to host recruits, Air Force hosted some guys. Four coaches, not just Bill Sheridan, four coaches on that Air Force team were implicated in this. Air Force completed their investigation. And Bill Sheridan was one of the guys who the NCAA found guilty of this. Now, let's just stop for a second to say the NCAA is the champion at like hitting ants with hammers and letting gigantic fires burn forever, right? The fact that with all the issues going on, with everything happening, that the NCAA is concerned with Air Force, of all places, hosting a couple of recruits during a COVID dead period, frankly, is mind-blowing, right? You have bigger problems, way bigger problems going on right now. But it is what it is, and that's neither here nor there. I doubt, judging how this played out, that Paul Chryst knew about this. I have not heard that specifically. I really doubt that Paul Chryst knew about this, and I wonder if Bill Sheridan perhaps played a little bit of hide the bag here, where he just hoped it would go away and nothing would come of it. And then when it popped up, I think this is, again, this is all my interpretation of this. I imagine Paul Chryst kind of said, WTF, man, like, this isn't going to, this, the, you broke the trust. You're no longer in the circle of trust, you know? So it is a shame. I will say it's, you know, he's been here 2 months. It's not like he's built up recruiting ties with anybody right now. It was, you know, he hasn't been here long enough where he's been recruiting a kid to play at Wisconsin for 7 months, 8 months. And now him leaving kind of really destroys that relationship. He hasn't been here long enough where, you know, where he's helping to game plan week one. And now we have to figure something out. But he has been here long enough where it's kind of a weird spot and a weird time to have to hire somebody else, right? We're in the middle of summer. There's some questions into, will Paul Chryst kind of find an interim guy and see how it goes? Does he want to do another coaching search right now? You know, I don't know. It's very interesting to me. My hope is that Paul Chryst goes and hires another established guy. I would prefer it not to be an internal hire. I think we have a lot of Wisconsin voices on this coaching staff. Going outside of that, finding someone who's a really talented recruiter who has great recruiting ties or great recruiting energy, I think would be a huge, huge benefit to the staff. Because I don't know if we got a lot of those guys. Bobby April's that guy. I don't know if the rest of those guys are that guy yet. So I would really think bringing someone with recruiting ties and some really recruiting chops makes a ton of sense. But typically, Paul Chryst hasn't done that, right? Paul Chryst, and I'm not saying this is wrong, by the way. Paul Chryst, he really values coaching over recruiting, right? You see it with Al Johnson. You see it with Herring. You see it with Bobby Engram coming in, right? You see it with Bob Bosted coming back to the staff. All these guys are great coaches, and then you got to hope they recruit. And I think that's if we have to take a guess at who's going to fill this inside linebacker spot with, it's going to be a guy like that, a guy who's a great coach and maybe can recruit, maybe can't. So it's going to be interesting to follow that, guys. Obviously, Sheridan leaving was kind of a crazy turn of events. We're going to follow who's coming into that spot and keep reporting on that. And as always, guys, listen, that's the show for today. A lot more coming up this week. We're going to dive much deeper into both the new commits. We're going to talk a little bit more about Badgers basketball. Gigantic prospect, both literally and figuratively, announcing this week with Wisconsin as the favorite, Gus Yalden. We're definitely going to dive into that. So lots coming up this week, guys. Really appreciate it. Everybody tuning in, everybody showing up, and everybody continuing to show the love. Yeah, I mean, again, like, this is not about me. This is about trying to build a community of Badger fans, guys, and I can't appreciate y'all enough. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.